Okay, so let's start. So what I did is I took the old sheet. For those of you who are here on Sunday morning, this is too small. Oh. So I took the old sheet from Sunday morning, the end of Summer Bina, which we got through most of it. The end of it, the onions part of it, was rather fast and not as thorough. So what I did is I expanded on that. That section I've handed out to you again. If you compare it, it's similar but much more in depth. And we will spend most of the time on that. I want to spend a little bit of time going over the first half, the part about knives, not much. And then through the onions discussion at the end, we're really going to chazer. We're going to go over really everything that we've been discussing about the kitchen. All the different laws of the kitchen will be touched upon as we just go over how it relates to onions. We'll compare onions to everything else, and that'll sort of be a way of reviewing everything. So very, very briefly, just going over from the beginning, the concept of knives. There are two issues that we're going to be discussing tonight, which are independent issues, except that they cross many, many times when it comes specifically to onions. But each one on their own is an independent issue, which needs to be understood that way, and then you could understand them as they cross. So one is the issue of knives. Knives have a special status in halacha. And the second is the status of what's known as a davar charif, something which is a sharp food, which also has a special status in halacha. There is a point in which these two topics will intersect, which is where we have the bulk of our issues in our kitchens. So let's just spend a little bit about knives. Again, this is a review from this past, from that last Sunday a month or two ago. 2 or 3 months ago, whenever that was already. Feels like only a month ago, but alas, my vacation is now over and it was much more than that. Okay. So knives have a unique status of transmitting. That happens for one of two reasons. Number one, knives are generally considered not to be clean. Again, in today's world, we're much more careful with our knives being clean, but still, around the kitchen, cooking Thursday night, any night of the week, knives, if you pick up a knife on the counter, it's been used, it's not necessarily clean, you have to really clean it well to have it cleaned well. If you take it out of your drawer, we would assume that it's clean, but in generally, it's often not considered clean. So there's an issue with knives, just because when things are cut, there's a residue that remains on a knife, which will transfer, which has nothing to do with the regular types of transfers that we talk about, which usually involves heat, getting the taste that's embedded into the walls of a pot or of a piece of silver or into something else. It's just scraping the sides of the knives. And that is an issue that has to be dealt with. This is dealt with often also in at a non-kosher fish market, where you have knives which are going to be full of all sorts of stuff and various reasons that comes up. We discussed that's not as... It's relevant, important to know. What's more important for tonight's discussion is the second element of a knife, and that's what's known as the duchka de sakina, which means the pressure of a knife. Because a knife, when it cuts, exerts a certain amount of pressure on the food that it's cutting, that pressure, the sages understood, is a form, or allows for a form of an ability to absorb or impart taste from whatever the item is that is being cut. Now, this is a unique form of taste transfer, which is important and worth spending the time going over, because generally all the discussions that we've had, a transfer of taste happens through the medium of heat. If I have a pot and I cook a piece of meat in my pot, because of the heat involved in the cooking process, some of the taste of the meat will now absorb into the walls of the pot, creating what we know as a fleishige pot. Now my pot is meat, and if I were to subsequently cook something in the pot later, so then the heat from the second cooking would allow for the transfer of taste from the pot back out of the pot into whatever is being cooked inside of it. Generally, that's how taste transfers. The pressure of a knife also has an ability to impart taste. Now, the pressure alone cannot do it. Just the pressure won't do it. You need some form of heat in order for the pressure to be able to do it, or another variable, which we'll learn will be sharp foods. But the fact that a knife has pressure will allow, under certain circumstances, either with heat, if the item is warm or hot, you'll have a transfer. So if you take a hot piece of meat and you cut it with your knife, the taste will absorb from the meat into your knife, and you will have created a meat knife. If you have a hot souffle or something dairy, and you take a piece of cheese, whatever it may be, that needs to be a little bit warm, and you take a knife and you cut it, you've created a milk knife. If it's not a sharp food, if it's a piece of meat, a piece of cheese, something like that, and you cut it cold, that will not create a transfer into your knife. Your knife will remain parv. It needs to be cleaned well. But if you cut something cold, simply cutting something cold does not create a transfer, which is important. Tell you where this is relevant to all the time, even more than you think, when you use a blender or a grater, all of those things which are knives. But if it's just cold, there's no transfer in between whatever it is that you're grating or cutting or chopping. If it's just cold and a knife, that alone does not create a transfer.
Cheese?
Cheese, correct.
I could use the grater that I use for cheese.
Yes. Now, it's not recommended.
So anal, I never did.
Right, that's why it's not recommended, because it's very hard to clean.
Yeah.
That's why it's not. I mean, technically speaking, in other words, the halacha would say this item does not absorb the taste from cheese or from meat because it just doesn't have the mechanism to do so. You need heat or you need something sharp. If it were to be clean and you're sure that it was clean, then yeah, you could use it for something else. Because those things are very hard to clean, that's why it's generally not recommended to do something like that.
It doesn't matter what, if you have two dishwashers, which one it came from or anything.
Right, technically, yeah. No, the dishwasher is one of the things that we like to be particular with in terms of meat and dairy, but you don't have to be because of the fact that there's always soap used in the dishwasher. Another dishwasher, just because something was in a dishwasher does not necessarily mean that it became that status. Explain why that is? There's something called, it really is based on something which we've been discussing a lot, and that's the 24-hour rule. 24-hour rule says, what's a 24-hour rule? Right, once a taste has been embedded in an item, a pot or a knife or wherever it's been for more than 24 hours, it loses its potency, it becomes stale to the point where it can't affect anything else. So that if I cook meat in my pot and I wait 24 hours, even if I now cook milk in that pot the next day, but if it's more than 24 hours, the milk is still permitted because the meat flavor that's in the pot. This isn't new, right? You must not have been here for the last, right? So the meat taste, which is in the pot, has become stale, and therefore, even though we don't use a meat pot to cook milk, you're not allowed to do that purposely, knowingly, but if it was done, the food is still permitted, because the taste that's within the pot has already become stale and can't affect the taste. There are various ways to make taste stale. One way, the most common way, is waiting 24 hours. It's just the taste that's embedded in the walls of a pot cannot maintain itself that long. It just loses its potency. Another way of making the taste impotent, lacking that ability to affect something else, is to ruin it, so to speak. And the way that you ruin it is by adding something like soap or other materials like that, which would basically give it a bad, putrid, unpleasurable taste, so that then we discard that because it's inherently it's just been ruined. So generally, our dishwashers have soap used in them, so any taste that's flying around is considered already ruined and it wouldn't really affect the status. We don't lechatchila necessarily do that. We would tell you to either have two dishwashers or but.
So why do we need two dishwashers in this
department? I know we are more machmir. We're more particular not to do that on purpose. No, we are. We. Yeah, so we wouldn't ideally use that, right? If you told me, I just opened up my fleishika dishwasher and I found my milchika spoon, what's the deal? Well, you're not the kasher.
No.
Yeah, most of that. I mean, unless there's some other circumstance, you know, you'd have to, generally you would have to.
You don't have to bury
it. Oh, yeah.
So the other day I used a knife and sliced I cut a tomato and then on a cheese sandwich I sliced the bread with a part of knife and I'm like, and I put it in the...
Right, excellent example. Right? Do not have to do that. Excellent example, right? You have your cheese sandwich, a part of knife, and everything is cold, right? It's just cold tomato, cold cheese.
The cheese...
Excellent. There you go. Perfect example. Now that's exactly what we're talking about. So then you did the right. Yeah, let's say it was all cold. We'll take this last example, then we'll go into our onion. And that's correct. In other words, in a situation in which everything was cold, so then the pressure of the knife on a cold piece of cheese and there's nothing there that, that the cheese isn't sharp, so that there's no nothing.
Why do we need a palmer knife?
Why do you need one?
Why my tomato with a palmer knife?
Because
I'm misunderstanding. If you can use it for,
we haven't gotten to onions yet. You need a palmer knife for onions. Right now we're talking, if you just want to slice a piece of cheese, if you took your parve knife, you cut your cheese and it's cold, you got to wash it well and it's still parve. If your cheese was warm, so then the pressure of the knife plus another factor, which one of those factors is heat, would then absorb from the cheese, and now you have a milchik knife and you did the correct thing by putting it in the milchik jar. That's correct.
To continue on that, let's say that my cheese on the knife, maker's knife, milk.
Right.
So let's say 24 hours later, what happens to that knife?
So now that is a milchik knife. In halacha, even though in technical terms, after 24 hours it's parv again because it cannot impart taste to anything, we don't deal with that. In halacha we say once something is a certain flavor, be it milk, be it meat, milk or meat, that's how we deal with it. It's now a milk knife in this example. You can't purposely take it and use it on something meat. If you did, and you called me and you said, what's the status of my chicken? I just cut it with my milk knife. I would say, when was the last time you used your knife? And you would say, 70 hours ago. I would say, your chicken is fine. Your knife is a problem, but your chicken is fine. Because now your knife has absorbed milk taste once, and now it's absorbed meat taste. We have to kosher it. But the chicken is fine because the milk can't come back out. It's already stale. Make sense?
So,
I have
boiling water, dip it in there, and that's kosher.
Yeah.
If it even has a candle.
Right, but that's getting into all the hilchos of kosher. You just need to kosher it. Okay, let's go to onions. So that's the basic review of knives. If you want to go over how it affects your stuff in your kitchen with your root vegetables and your fruits and your melons, how that is affected when you cut things with different types of knives, look at your sheets or go to faudio.org and you can review the class that we gave that last Sunday. Let's move to section 2. It's on page 2 of your sheets. Let's do dover charif. So dover charif are sharp foods. Now there are three unique characteristics to sharp foods which we will go through in depth now as they apply. Two of them again are general halachos, not specific to knives, and one is specific to knives. So again, we're going to discuss sharp foods as a category into itself. We're going to put the whole discussion of knives on hold. We just started with knives. Knives have a certain pressure. Pressure plus a variable creates a transfer. One of those variables is heat. We're going to get back to knives, but right now we're just going to discuss the concept of sharp foods, onions, garlic, radishes, things of the like. They have specific halachas, and we've already introduced some of the unique aspects by already reviewing some of the things in the last couple of minutes. So number one, I bolded the three things so we could review them easily. Number one, sharp foods elevate a secondary transfer to the status of a primary transfer. So this takes us back, if that was Greek to you, this takes us all the way back to the very first class of kashrus in the kitchen. I don't know when it was, but as I mentioned, through these halachos of onions, we're going to review everything. So this review is going to be as follows. I basically wrote it in here, but let's just go over it as follows. When you cook meat in a pot, meat goes from the, taste goes from the meats into the pot. That's one transfer. I now have meat taste. Let me actually start instead of meat. Let's take a non-kosher piece of meat. A non-kosher piece of meat, I have a neighbor who's not Jewish, or I have a family member who's not observant, and they cook non-kosher meat. So now I have a non-piece of kosher piece of meat in a pot, it's cooked. The taste of the meat transfers from the meat itself into the walls of the pot. That's one transfer. If I were to subsequently cook a kosher piece of meat, or even a potato, or whatever in the pot after that, the taste that's in the walls of the pot is going to transfer through the cooking process, into my kosher piece of meat or my potato or whatever it is that's being cooked in the pot. That's transfer number two. So the halacha says when you're dealing with non-kosher items, however many times the item transfers, it's always going to be a problem, and therefore your potato would be not fit for consumption. It's not kosher because it has taste of non-kosher meat. It wasn't cooked with non-kosher meat. It was cooked in an empty pot, just with potatoes. No. Since it was initially cooked with meat, meat was transferred into the walls of the pot, and you subsequently cook a boiling pot of water and potatoes, it's going to go from the walls of the pot into your potatoes, and you have yourself a problem. When it comes to, yeah.
If you had a boiling pot of water, when it first goes into the water.
Yes, that's a big discussion. So with non-kosher products, it's not going to matter, because when it comes to non-kosher products, it can bounce around as many times as you want. That is a fair point. When you talk about milk and meat, then that does add a step, and that is a big discussion in halacha as far as it goes. Yes, that's correct. But let's say we're talking about a kosher piece of meat in my kosher kitchen. So here, the halacha says, you only get one transfer. On the second transfer, if the second transfer doesn't itself cause a problem, then by the time the second transfer is completed, it's also this example of not being potent anymore. It's lost its vitality. The taste is no longer an issue. So, for example, if I cook a kosher piece of meat in a pot, the taste of the meat is going to transfer from the meat into the pot. If I subsequently cook up milk, I boil a pot of milk in that same pot, so the taste of the meat is going to go from the walls of the pot into the milk. Since in the second transfer, we have a forbidden relationship, that's going to be a problem, and my milk now has to be thrown away, because, as does my pot, I now have had a milk and meat issue, because the taste of the meat that's in the walls of the pot has gone into directly milk, and my milk is now milk and meat. Problem. But let's say I didn't cook milk in the pot the second time. All that is, I cooked a potato, or I cooked vegetables, whatever, something parve. So that second transfer that goes from the meat into the pot, that's one, and then from the pot into my potato, is there any problem with having a potato that has meat taste in it? There's no prohibition in having that. So since already the second transfer does not have any halakhic problems associated with it, at the end of the second transfer, we already say the meat taste is already nullified, it doesn't exist, it's already a non-factor, and your potato is in effect still tarif.
So it could go either way. You could do two things with that, one milk and one meat at different times.
In the same pot?
No, on the same plate.
What do you mean?
Let's say there were a lot of potatoes, so some of it you're going to serve.
Oh, 100%.
Okay,
100%. Now, the caveat to that, and this is what we discussed in that very first class way back when, askwhatail.org, check it out, is that if the pot had been used within 24 hours for the meat before you cooked the potato, then we Ashkenazim, in practice, do not eat it directly with the opposite flavor. If it was a meat pot, we wouldn't use it for milk. But if you have a pot that has not been used in 24 hours, and you cooked potatoes in them, those potatoes are 100% parv. You could take some of them and put them in your chowin. You could take some of them and put melted cheese on it. Those are parv potatoes.
But you talked about boiling milk, or cooking milk in that pot. If the pot had not been used within 24 hours,
then the milk is permitted. Pot's going to be a problem because the pot now absorbs both milk and meat. But in that case, the milk would be permitted because that's a whole separate rule that says anything after 24 hours, it's just not there. You know, we deal with it as if it's there not to use the pot, the chatchila, not to ideally use it, but anything that's been more than 24 hours cannot have an effect on any other food, except for what we'll learn is one of the exceptions. But as far as regular foods, no. So exception number one of onions is that this rule of the two transfers, in which we basically ignore the second transfer because if it goes into something which is parv, we assume the taste is already dead at that point and your potatoes are entirely parv, that does not apply if what's being cooked up in your pot or in your frying pan are onions. Something which is sharp, onion, radish, all of those types of issues have an ability to create a transfer that as if it's the first transfer. So let's take, for example, what happens more often than in a pot is your knife example. Let's say we're going to learn about another way to cause a transfer is going to be from a knife into an onion. So generally speaking, how did your knife become milk or meat? Because you must have cut something which was hot with your knife. So there's a transfer from meat into your knife. When that transfer then goes from your knife into your onion, technically speaking, how many transfers is that? That's a second transfer. And we would have said under normal circumstances, if it were a potato, let's play this example out. Let's say I have a piece of cooking Thursday night, I have a hot roast, take my knife, I carve up my hot roast. What's the status of my knife right now?
Meat.
Is it within 24 hours after 24 hours? It's 10 minutes ago. So I got a real potent meat flavor inside of my knife. Even if I now wash it down, it's totally clean, but it's got a within 24 hour old flavor inside the knife. I then take my potatoes out of the oven, steaming hot, and I slice them open. What's the status of the potatoes? So they're actually parv.
Right. It's
the second transfer.
But the knife was less than
24
hours.
Excellent. So we say parv, but we don't eat it directly with. Okay, the parv goes misleading. That's fair. That's within 20. I wanted to get to that. It's since the knife was within 24 hours, you cannot eat your potatoes directly with cheese because it's within 24 hours. But right after, you could eat it right after, right before. The only stringency we have, since the potato was cut with a knife that had been used within 24 hours, is not to eat the potato directly with cheese. I'll give you a more practical example. This is one thing that, let's take the other example. Let's say you took a knife and you cut something that was dairy within 24 hours.
Cold.
Hot. So that the hot taste absorbed into the knife. And then within 24 hours, you took that knife and cut a potato. So that potato now has this within 24 hour status of dairy. So you could not eat that potato with your cholent, which is meat, but you could eat it right afterwards. So right after your meat meal, you could eat that potato. You're doing the same meal, just it's not this exact same time.
Well, it was true.
Right.
The heat transfer. Still doesn't cause that to be inflation.
No, it's because there are two transfers. Because the transfer, the taste went from the meat into the knife. It would cause it to transfer, but in other words, you only get two transfers, and on the second transfer, it already is nullified. No? Yes? No? Not confusing everybody?
It's nullified, but you can't mix it.
Because we have a stringency not to eat it, if it's within 24 hours, not to eat it directly with the other flavor, milk or meat.
Could it be on the table and you made it there?
Yeah, that's totally not. Because in reality, it is parv. At the end of the day, it really is parv. Have you ever been to someone's house where they serve a dairy equipment sorbet for dessert, Shabbos lunch? Nope. So you're allowed to serve a dairy equipment sorbet for dessert on Shabbos lunch. You've got a meat lunch because dairy equipment just means that there was no dairy in the actual ingredients, just that the machinery had been used within 24 hours for something dairy. So but it's still really parv, but it could not be eaten directly with meat, but you could eat it for dessert. They stopped doing that, the DE. Because it got a little bit confusing for everybody, I think, amongst other reasons. So they stopped doing it. But yeah, if you happen to know, either by it'll say, there'll be no milk in the ingredients, and it will say, this was processed on machinery that uses nuts and milk and whey and whatever other allergens they put on that.
And then we treat them as what?
Then it's dairy equipment. So you could not eat it with meat, but you could eat it after meat. But in any case, that's all, if you're not confused already, well, I'll confuse you more. That's all a potato. That's where you took a knife, again, a hot knife, or a knife, you cut a hot piece of meat, and within 24 hours you cut a hot potato. That's where the potato is generally is now parv, but we wouldn't eat it directly with cheese. But if you cut an onion after having cut the piece of meat, so then that onion, because of the sharpness of the onion, the fact that it's transferred twice doesn't matter. It's as if the meat taste has gone directly from the meat into the onion without that in-between stop at the knife. So as far as the potato goes, the in-between stop in the knife makes the potato remain parv. But when it comes to an onion, the sharpness of the onion reinvigorates the taste so that even though it's had two stops along the way, it's as if it went directly from meat into the onion. You now have a full-fledged meat onion on your hands, and that cannot be, that has to be treated as a meat onion.
I have a feeling I totally
All right, so I'm declining your invitation to lunch this Shabbat. Yeah, it's probably the kriza nefesh with a blender.
Vegetables.
Yeah, it's probably not a problem. It's almost.
I do onion.
So we'll talk about that exact kind of case. In other words, technically speaking, you might end up with a problem, but it's highly. I shouldn't say highly likely. It's you have to go through a lot of steps to actually get yourself into a problem. Let's go through the criteria of onions, and that'll be a classic example. We'll take that example and work through what the issues are. So issue number one, or the first characteristic of an onion, of a sharp food, is that sharp foods have the ability that when a transfer comes from a knife into the onion, even though there's been that in-between stop of in the knife and it didn't go directly from meat into the onion, we consider it as if it has gone directly in, and therefore the onion will take on that status of be it milk, be it meat, be it non-kosher. If a person would use a non-kosher knife to cut an onion, that onion is entirely and completely non-kosher as well. Okay, so let's just go to number two, not the two I, but I, within I, letter two, number two. If the onion was then cooked with cholent, so then that would aser the cholent. So in other words, if I have an onion, which the example that I've been using here was that I have a milk knife, and I take my milk knife, and I cut an onion, and now I take that onion, and I throw it into my cholent. Okay, let's take both examples. I have a meat knife, used within 24 hours. And I cut up an onion and I cut up a potato. And I throw them both into my cholent. And I call the rabbi and I say, this is what I just did. I took a milk knife, I cut up a potato, I cut up an onion, I threw them into my cholent. What's the status? What's that? So that's our question, right? So the potato is not... Except for the fact that if I'd used my knife within 24 hours, as a stringency, we wouldn't eat it directly with the cholent. But that stringency aside, the potato would be fine because it had the two transfers, but the onion really becomes milk. And when that onion is thrown into the cholent, your cholent's the problem. That's why one would use pav knife, either a milk, if you're cutting onions for a cholent, either you use a meat knife or use a pav knife, right? Okay, that's criteria number one. Then even if the taste bounces twice, nonetheless, it's still considered as if it's a primary transfer. Now number two, which, again, these two things, they intersect all the time. Sharp foods also revitalize absorbed taste that is more than 24 hours old. So that first question that every single rabbi will ask you, no matter what your question is, I have a question from the kitchen. The first question is always going to be, when was the last time you used the pot, knife, fork, whatever it is that's in question? That's the first question we ask. Why is that the first question we ask? Because after 24 hours, the taste is stale, and after 24 hours, stale taste cannot affect or impact anything else. So it's a non-issue. We'll always be able to be lenient if whatever it is that you've been using is more than 24 hours old. However, an onion or sharp foods have the ability to revitalize that taste. Just like it became stale after 24 hours generally, and it becomes stale after more than one transfer, and then the sharpness of the food is able to revitalize and rejuvenate that taste. Similarly, something which is more than 24 hours will be revitalized and rejuvenized and brought back to life by a sharp food. So that if you took a knife, go back to the same example that we had, I take a milk knife. My milk knife is more than 24 hours old. I haven't used this for something hot in milk. Who knows how long ago it was that I used this knife on something that's hot. And I cut a potato that's boiling hot tonight. Thursday night, I realized I took out the wrong knife from the drawer, but I only realized that after I cut up my hot potato straight out of the oven. What's the status of my potato that's been cut by a 30-day-old milk knife? Entirely tarred. You could do anything with that potato. You could even put it in your cholent directly. You could eat it with meat, because since you have two factors going on in the potato, you have factor number one, the transfer of milk went two steps that went from milk into the knife and from the knife into a potato, plus the fact that you have the taste that's transferring twice, was already stale to begin with, it was more than 24 hours old, it is a non-factor. Your potato is entirely parve and you could put it into the cholent, which is always shocking. People call up with questions. I use the milk knife on my potato and I say, throw it in your cholent. It's totally fine. You know, if your milk knife is that old, and that's where the transfer came to, from the milk to the knife, from the knife to the potato, it's parve. Hot potato is not going to make a difference. However, if instead of cutting a potato, you reach into your refrigerator and took out a cold onion, and you use that more than 24-hour knife to cut a cold onion, the onion has the ability, through its sharpness, to reinvigorate the taste in the onion. And the fact that it's two transfers isn't going to make a difference because of the first variable that we had learned just a few moments ago. And therefore, your onion is still going to be considered dairy, even though it was cut with a knife that hasn't been used in more than 24 hours.
Okay, so an onion is always part of gut cut.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. It's cut with a meat knife. Yes, I understand what you meant. Yes.
Okay.
The onion will take on the status.
I'm lying.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't. I could have just sent that an email. Nobody would be here. Nobody would be here. Yeah.
Well, if you just cut your cholent rolls a potato, milk potato,
and
then you cut an onion, rinse off, and you cut something out. Because that knife is now melted again because it's in with the onion. Or look at that. Does the knife become.
No, I don't believe so. That's it. Yeah. That's a good question. That's a good question. I wanted to confirm that. I don't believe that, in other words, what the onion does is it will absorb the taste from the knife into the onion. I do not believe that it makes the knife into a benyam or into within 24 hours. I don't believe so. That's a great question. I am almost positive that it does not. I will confirm. There are a couple of things I wanted to confirm. I don't believe so. I want to make sure I get back to that. Yeah. Okay, so that is that's going through category number two. Okay, so generally, as we said, with that, I'm sorry, yeah.
Well, can you
Good. It's an excellent question. The answer, you ever hear the question I was asking? If you have an onion, you cut it, say you cut it in a third, cut it off with a meat knife, can you then cut away down the middle to get rid of that part, and can the rest of the onion be parve again, or whatever you want it to be? So the answer to that question really depends on which part of the world your family was born in. Sfardim have the halacha, their custom is, the only amount that the onion is or radish is affected is about it. What's known as a kedei netila. It's about an inch worth of flesh of the food, the onion, the radish, whatever it is. That's how far the taste will absorb into. So that's the kind. It's in a lot of different areas of halacha. That's the amount that we assume things will absorb. So there, the tradition of the Sfarim is that's the amount that the taste will absorb, and therefore you could cut away a little bit more than an inch, and the rest of the onion would be unaffected. If, however, you were born in an Ashkenaz land or descended from Ashkenazim, we basically take the whole onion and say that it is now entirely considered meat, and therefore, if you were to subsequently cut the rest of that onion with a milk knife, your onion is a problem, your knife might be a problem, but we would not have the ability to cut that in half as Ashkenazim. But if you were to ask Rabbi Krishkaman across the street, he would say, sure, cut it away. Yeah. You know, there's certain times of year where it's good to be a Sfarad, it's good to be Ashkenaz. This is not the time of year where you want to claim to be a Sfarad, because then you'd be waking up to say Slichos in the middle of the night for the entire month of Elul. This is like the only month in which there is some advantage. But that would be. So your question is a fair question, and that's the difference between that. It's the different custom which have developed between Ashkenazim and the Sephardim. It'll lose its sharpness.
No, there's something. My husband said that if you're going to only use half the onion, you have to leave the skin on. The part of the
leaf. The red.
Like Alpi Kabbalah?
There is a halachic thing, but I was here with another rabbi who was giving a class on something, and he said, if your mom didn't do it, don't worry about it. It's a minhag.
Yeah, I've never even heard of that.
I have heard that. You leave half of it. First of all, when you cut the onion, if you want to store it, the only onion part that you can really store is, you know, the end that has the root. That part you can store. Officially, you can't store the other part, and the part with the root has to be in a no air container.
It's not a halachic thing. I mean, there's no halacha. It's either al pi kabbalah or it's in the refrigeration, onions and eggs. But I don't know where that's from. I'm not familiar with that. I'm not saying there's no foundation to it. I'm not familiar with that. Tell you, my mother and my wife don't do that, so I don't know anything about it. Okay, so again, so that's unique characteristic number two. Number one is the fact that when you're dealing with sharp foods, the fact that it might have transferred twice is not going to be a leniency. You're still going to have to deal with the flavor that was in the knife that's now going to be in your onion. Characteristic number two is that when taste, which is over 24 hours old, will be revitalized when it is transferred to a sharp food. Now the reality is both of these two examples, I really should not have even been using knives, because these are examples which have nothing to do with knives. That has to do with just an onion alone. If you were to just take an onion and cook it, what's that?
Stick
a fork in it. Well, that's really going to be the same thing as a knife. It's just a little sharpness or pressure. But if you were to cook it, or in any other way that would cause a transfer of taste, it would cause that same transfer, whether or not it was however many times it bounced around, and no matter how old the taste was in the pot that's now going into your onion, that transfer will still take place and create the status of the onion of the pot. The other unique aspect of the onion... What?
If somebody cooks
the fish
in a flesh pot,
mm-hmm.
and they cook it with an onion.
Okay, we're going to get to that. In other words, what about mixtures? What happens when you have onions as part of bigger things?
Part what?
A bigger mixture, The third unique element of an onion is really the one that I've been assuming that we've all been discussing this entire time, but let's just state it explicitly, and that is the fact that the sharpness of a knife combined with the sharpness of the onion, or the pressure of the knife with the sharpness of the onion, will create a transfer even without any heat. This has really been the assumption that I've been working with as we've been discussing onions, but it should be stated that is a unique element of an onion. As we said a couple times tonight already, if I were to take a knife, which might have been used within 24 hours, and I cut a cold potato, take a potato right out of my fridge or out of my pantry, and I slice up my potato, and then I realize it's Thursday night, I wanted to make a dish for Shabbos, and I just took a milk knife, even if the milk knife has been used within 24 hours, and I cut my cold potato was still entirely par. There is absolutely no transfer which can take place between my knife and my potato, because I need some medium of heat, even with my knife, to create the transfer. I should clean the potato just to make sure there's no residue of milk on it, but there's no transfer into the body, into the flesh of the potato, because a knife alone can't do that. If I had a warm potato and a milk knife, that would be a different story. But a cold potato or a cold cheese sandwich does not have any ability to transfer taste out of the knife into the food or vice versa. However, an onion, a sharp food, the sharpness of the knife, the pressure of the knife, together with the sharpness of flavor of the onion alone creates that transfer. So that even though there's no heat and everything is cold, just simply cutting your onion with the knife will create that transfer. Therefore, let's just go through the end of this that little piece, that third thing. Generally, transfers only take place in the context of heat. The pressure of a knife alone does not transfer. Oh, that sentence doesn't make any sense. Yeah, that must have been, I'm not sure what happened to that. I apologize. Together, pressure and sharp foods will create a transfer between the knife and the sharp food. The two things together, the sharpness of the food, the pressure of the knife, will create a transfer. Therefore, a non-kosher knife will impart its taste into an onion. No matter how old the knife is, it will impart its taste into the onion. And the other way around as well, a non-kosher onion will impart its taste into the knife. If you would have cooked such an onion with something else, let's say you cooked a stew and it's soaking in the meat of the stew, and you cut that with a kosher knife, so then the non-kosherness of the onion will transfer into, goes both ways. Whether or not the onion was a problem into the knife, whether or not the knife was a problem will go into the onion. Either way, that will happen even with something that is cold. Now, generally, we can even deal, all three of these criteria often happen at the same time. Sometimes you only have two of them, sometimes you have three of them. But if you cut an onion, for example, with a knife, that's a meat knife that's been used within 24 hours, so then we're really only calling into play two out of the three special criteria. I'm calling into play the fact that the transfer took place in something cold with the pressure of the knife, from the knife into the onion. And I'm utilizing the fact that even though there have been two transfers here, it went from a piece of meat into my knife, and then from my knife into my onion, and generally two transfers would make it irrelevant, I'm saying because of the fact that it's an onion, it's still going to be considered meat. But the third criteria that says that an onion has the ability to invigorate old, stale taste that I didn't use in that kind of situation, in which my knife was still within 24 hours old. If I were to use a knife that's more than 24 hours old, then I'm actually bringing in all three of the unique elements of the onion in order to say that my onion is still meat. I'm invoking the fact that the transfer took place with something that's sharp, even though it's only cold because of the sharpness of the knife. I'm invoking the fact that even though it transferred twice from meat into the knife and knife into the onion, it's still considered meat. And I'm invoking the fact that the taste of the meat which was in the knife is already stale taste. The fact that the onion is there reinvigorates that and creates a meat onion. I stress that because once you get to that stage where you're invoking all three principles, even though we would consider the onion meat, don't throw it into your milk dishes. If it eventually gets thrown into a milk dish, and now you have a big question, that's where you call your local Orthodox rabbi, because there's what to work with because of the fact that all three things have been invoked, and there's some other variables as well. But it's important just to understand the details. But for all intents and purposes, that onion, despite the fact that three separate criteria have gone into it, would still be considered meat. So far, so good?
So, onions,
anything like that. Meat, therefore, you don't know where you're going, have a part. 100%, yes. Okay, let's go over, let's see if we can get this last little bit instilled. Three considerations. Again, a lot of these I've been making assumptions with, but they're important to be aware of for other halakha considerations. Number one, what's considered sharp? So, when the Gemara discusses this halakha, it uses a word, what? Yeah, it uses the word tznoin. Tznoin is a radish. Now, there are three different types of radishes. There are black radishes and red radishes, and I think there are white radishes. So there's a dispute amongst the poskim, very, very important halacha, what is considered sharp. So some poskim are of the opinion that only radishes are sharp, and amongst those radishes, only whichever one is considered the most sharp. I don't know. I don't like even any types of radishes. So it didn't register to me, but many of the other poskim and the general consensus amongst the halacha is that we do not limit it to radishes, which are the literal discussion that's taking place in the Gemara. But all types of sharp foods are considered sharp. So whether or not it's, I just took a list, garlics and onions, horseradish, olives, lemons, esrogs, these sharp types of foods are considered sharp and would have the ability to transfer the taste. The reason why I mention this again is because just as far as paying attention to how many different criteria are out there when we are stringent, there are opinions that say it's only a radish that's really considered sharp, but other things are not. We, again, ideally would not deal with that. We consider all these food items sharp, but when you have something going on in the kitchen, make sure you ask before you throw everything out, because there are considerations. That's the main thing after everything is make sure you ask. Just be familiar with what to ask and ask. Yeah?
I have a question about olives. If you're using olive oil, does that have anything to do with this discussion?
Yes.
So if I put olive oil in the container that had dairy in it, a dairy container, plastic dairy container, and make a salad dressing, I cannot use that oil, that dressing, or too early.
No, not if it just unless it soaks for a real long period of time. I don't think so.
I can't go with anything fresh. If it's salad dressing, can't be served with any fresh as well.
It would have to have soaked for a while. First of all, I'm pretty sure that olive oil would be a problem. I remember seeing there are a list of things. I'll have to check that. There is a list of types of liquids. I might be making a mistake on that. What?
Yeah.
I'll check. I could be wrong on the olive oil. I remember I saw a list. I shouldn't say until I confirm that. I'll have to look it up. Yeah.
Okay. I believe that I learned that if this was made phlegic and then you ate it, then you are considered phlegic and can't eat mulflex, right?
No.
No?
No. I don't think so. If you strongly feel that you've been taught that, I will look that up as well. I'd be surprised if we said that. Generally, you have to wait 6 hours. If the reason is either because of the taste of the meat somehow in its digestive process, or if the actual meat gets stuck in your teeth. Those are the two reasons that are given in the Rishonim. So a taste which is transferred into something, let's say I cook something in a pot and the meat tastes transferred in. So even though that's meat, that wouldn't make me wait 6 hours under normal circumstances. I would have thought an onion would have been like that, where there's nothing really in the onion. It's just taste. And you don't wait 6 hours for a transfer of taste. So I'd be surprised. It could be that is. It would be surprising without the lacha. I've been surprised many, many times. I wouldn't be surprised if I were surprised again. But in my own just logical understanding of the halacha, I wouldn't have thought so. So I'll look that up for the nether. Yeah. And she's going to email me. That one I'm for sure. Yeah.
When you speak about sharp foods, there are sharp herbs.
Yeah, and spices also, yes.
Do you include that?
Yeah.
And what about, hot peppers?
Yeah, and all the sharp foods.
All the sharp foods.
Yeah.
So herbs?
If they're sharp.
What? Yeah. Where is there a list of what's sharp?
Some folks define it as something which is sharp. Now most of the things on the list are not like this either. Just things which are sharp, which would not be eaten alone. And horseradish. You don't eat horseradish alone because it's. Yeah. So that's how some poskim will define sharpness. Most people don't eat a lemon alone. You don't eat an esrog alone. It's way too bitter, sharp. You don't eat it that way. Now that's not the way that everyone defines it. That's just one thing that's used. So I don't know if that's the close. The garlic. Some people do, but you take the general population, and people don't bite into a clove of garlic.
They eat olives.
Well, olives are different. Olives depends. You see, olives are, once they're processed, are very different. If you were to take an olive off the tree, those are very bitter. Those are very sharp.
The olive off the tree?
I don't know. I'm not sharp at all.
You're going to fall on your back. What do you mean?
Nothing. Look at me. I don't think I'll fall.
Olive brine. Yeah, not like vinegar.
Yeah, so there's not, if it's not sharp, it's not sharp. In other words, if there's sweet, like there's like, you know, so then.
Good.
that's an editorial comment. I still listen to one of the svarim that I have that had more stuff, and I put a couple of them here, the ones that I thought were more common, but but yeah, interesting. Yeah.
Because I knew this stuff, but I didn't realize it applied to all of them itself.
So if you would have salsa and serve this salsa from a big jar, and you put a meat spoon in the salsa,
so there's no sharpness of the knife.
Huh?
There's no sharpness. In other words, the transfer takes place with the sharpness of the knife, the pressure of the knife, into a sharp food. And you have no knife, you have no pressure. Using
so, that salsa, isn't that salsa like meat?
Even if it is, but you're not cutting it.
Did you make it?
No. Doreen, you have a jar of salsa. It's onions and it's sharp and it's probably lemon juice and everything. You take it out and you put it in a dish.
Right.
You put a spoon.
Yeah.
You have salsa left over.
Yes.
You can't put it back in that container, correct? Because now that salsa is considered meat.
Through what? Through the spoon?
It is not considered meat.
That's what I keep telling you. In other words, the transfer takes place because of the sharpness of the knife, the pressure in cutting the onion, together with the sharpness of the food.
That salsa is not.
Correct.
Oh my gosh, I have been so anal about this.
I mean, the fact
that you can't put it back in the food.
There, I saw that there's room to be stringent because of the liquidiness, but the liquidity of the salsa, I don't know if you, it generally wouldn't be considered just because you have the spoon in there.
No, but if you made
the
salsa.
Right, you're just taking it out of a jar.
If I made the
salsa. But you're using it for paraffin. In other words, the only issue that you have to be concerned about is that once it's been put on a table and you're using it as a dip, there's things that are paraffin on the table. There's no meat on the table or dairy on the table. Because once, so then already I would tell you not to put it back in your jar because now you have an open jar, open bowl of salsa on a meat table. And people are, but it's not because of the meat spoon, it's because there's meat on the table. And people, you think everybody is so clean and so neat. But you're asking, but it's not because, that has nothing to do with this discussion. It's not because you had a meat spoon in the salsa, it's because there's meat on the table and things are being passed around. And
it's a bad.
Here.
Like, you wouldn't put back a bowl of mayonnaise that had been on the table either. Because there's meat on it.
Yeah, no, it's the same thing with the challah. It's the same thing with the challah. If you have a challah on a meat table, don't serve it with milk. Because, and that's just a practical thing. It's not a halachic. There's no taste transfers and there's no heat. It's just, once it's been out there with meat, people are eating meat and they're cutting things with their meat and they're passing and this and that, we generally would treat that as meat.
A knife that is used on a challah.
A wormhole. Okay. And can you use it on a hollow that's parved and a hollow that's been baked? Sure. You can never be too careful. You don't have to be too careful, but that's fine. But you can. Okay, let's move forward. The other issue is cooked or soaked. There's a point in time in which the sharpness of the food loses its sharpness. So when you cook or fry certain things, after a certain point, it's no longer considered sharp. Now, the poskim are not exact in when this happens. And that's for the same reasons we've been discussing. How do you define that? These are variables, depends on how much water it was soaked in, how long it had been soaked or cooked or boiled, or the type of food that you started off with. But there is a point, and it's always worth asking, if that happens, that it loses its sharpness. For example, one thing is pretty much agreed upon, fried onions, once they are fried, and you know, while you're frying them, they're not yet fried. So if there's meat in the frying pan, there's a meat frying pan, I should say, as you're frying the onions are going to absorb the taste of the meat that's in the frying pan and become fleishig. But if you used a parv frying pan, for example, and you fried up your onions, and then you transfer your fried onions to anything else, and you then further slice them up with a knife, those fried onions are no longer considered something sharp. They've already been fried. They've lost their sharpness. And therefore, even if you were to use a meat or a milk knife to grate fried onions, that's not really considered a davar charif anymore. It's not considered sharp. It's already lost it, and it's a non-issue. What's that? You can
grate fried onions?
I don't know if you grate them, but you just want to take a knife and you cut them up. I don't know, whatever.
It's like that garlic.
Yeah.
Once you've roasted it, then if you stick a flaccid knife in it,
right,
it doesn't become flaccid.
Correct.
But if you put it on the table with your meat, then it becomes
flavor. Right, well then we treat it, right. Then we just treat it because it's already been out there, yeah. Same thing with mixtures. This is what you were discussing in terms of I put onions, I fry up my spinach with onions, or I make all sorts of stuff with onions. And then also it's an issue, but I can't tell you anything because there's no clear guidelines. It all depends on the type of the spice that you're using, whether or not it's onion or garlic or whatever it may be, and how much, what type of food is it in. If the sharpness is still a prominent part of it, then there are circumstances where that entire food would take on the status of a sharp food. More often than not, the onion is insignificant enough in the food item that we don't really deal with that as something which is considered sharp and does not have to be a problem. Okay, let's just quickly run through these three examples I put at the end. Practical halacha. Number one, we've really been discussing this entire night. Halacha l'maisa, what happens? An onion is cut with a meat knife. What do I do? So let's just taking all into account everything that we said. So even if the knife was not used for 24 hours and it was entirely clean, so I took a perfectly clean knife out of my either meat or my milk drawer, I cut on my onion. Onion becomes meat and cannot be eaten with dairy foods. And as we mentioned, all three of the factors that we discussed above apply in this situation. The fact that the transfer took place in a cold onion from a knife, because of the pressure of the knife and the sharpness of the onion creates the transfer, even though the taste was more than 24 hours old, and even though the taste bounced around twice from the meat into my knife and from my knife into my onion, nonetheless, my onion is entirely meat. I put here in the parentheses that Sfardim are lenient. They only cut away an inch of the onion, as we mentioned earlier, but that's not our Ashkenazic opinion. Now, if that onion was added to a dairy meal, ask your local Orthodox rabbi, because there are four factors which come into play here. Number one, some posts can hold that the only time we deal with sharp foods are radishes, not by onions. We hold not that way, but there is such an opinion out there. And you have the fact that it transferred twice. And you have the fact that it was more than 24 hours old. And you have the fact that it transferred from a knife because without any heat. So even though we are stringent and we consider that all to be a factor, under extreme circumstances, if it's, shas hatkak, as it's called in halacha, it's worth asking the question depending on the circumstances. But generally, we would still consider that to be meat, and you have yourself a meat onion, and your dairy meal would be thrown out. Now, someone asked about the plates last time that we learned. So, many poskim, and when I spoke to Rabbi Pransky about this, he said also that Rabbi Berger, who we ask our questions to in Baltimore, are stringent that the pressure of the radish or the onion against the plate also causes the food to absorb the taste from the plate. So that if you had a dairy plate and you cut your knife on the dairy plate, that same pressure that you have from the knife to the onion also is applicable from the onion down against the plate, and the onion can absorb the taste from the plate. So we are generally stringent on that, and we would consider an onion cut on a dairy, even if it's not 24-hour plate, to then take on that status of being dairy as well.
Okay,
so you should need a power of cutting board, yeah.
If you're using part of knife on an onion on a flaccid cutting board, have you made your knife?
Right, does it go all the way through?
Right.
I would think not, because of the stringency that we even consider the onion to be taking on that status. Technically speaking, that's why it's a good question, because you could play it all the way through. The pressure brought it out of the plate into the onion, so the same pressure can take it from the onion into the knife. It's a fair question, right?
There are several cutting boards. Because somebody in my house uses a flaccid knife on a part cutting board. So I would be curious. Okay, I'm going to email you that one.
Yeah, that's a fair question.
So it has to be cut with what you're cutting. If you're using
yeah.
Meat knife,
yeah.
I feel very clear.
You are. I'm cloudy. You're totally clear.
Just cut your knife. It's a bar. Far than anything else.
Okay, now the last issue are the blenders and the grinders and your food processors. Those are all knives. So this is really going to get back also similar to Gene's question. So they're generally pyrev. Now most of the time the things that we blend in these things are non-meat or dairy products. They're vegetables, fruits, and things of the like. And therefore the fact that there's a sharp knife, it's all pyrev. Even if you used meat or dairy, it still wouldn't create a meat or dairy blender because since it's not sharp, a knife always needs a second variable in order to create a transfer, that being heat. So if you're just grinding up even something cold, if you had a cold grater and you're grating cheese on it, that also would not create the grater to becoming really dairy. It wouldn't absorb the taste because you don't have the heat. If, however, you took a knife and cut an onion, and now your onion becomes meat, and you put your onion in the grater, or in the blender, or in a food processor, so then that onion being cut by that knife would have the potential to make your blender into becoming meat or dairy, whatever the onion was. That's where that could happen under that circumstance. If you were to run a onion that had been cut with a meat or dairy knife through your blender, then you can create your blender into being the status of that.
What is a possibility? You don't know.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
You better watch out.
All right, so we have some questions left still. There's a lot of stuff about this, but that question of whether or not it goes all the way from the thing all the way back, and the question of same basic question. If I cut a... with a non-benyomo, something which has been used in more than 24 hours ago, I cut an onion with that, does that reinvigorate the status of my knife for other things, which I don't think so, but I'll look at that also. Okay, next Wednesday already is guest speaker.